Colts come with pressure, and again it's picked off. It's Darius Leonard. Leonard with a second INT, and he's streaking down the near sideline. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's going to go. A pick six for the Maniac. Touchdown, INTY.
Your guys' this week is starting off really good. There's been some positive news in the NFL in the last week. Welcome back to the Underdog Sports Podcast, guys. I am your host, Michael Terrazas. Now, you know, it's an exciting time right now. The NBA bubble, it's about to start. There's been some good scrimmages. I'm sure we all have been watching. I'm pretty excited to see my Dallas Mavericks. I'm really excited to watch them this year. You know, when this bubble kicks off, I'm excited about Luka, KP, Seth Curry, you know, these guys. I'm excited to see what they can do in the bubble, you know, especially for you Colts fans. I'm really interested to see what Indiana can do. It seems that they can never get over that injury bug, but hopefully Victor Oladipo, you know, he can just get y'all guys going. But nonetheless, guys, starting off this show, man, it is a huge blessing to hear about the progressions that the NFL and the NFLPA have made. Now, I know in the last episode I discussed, you know, the two preseason games and how they could affect rookies, undrafted rookies. Well, shortly after I had concluded that show, it came out that the NFLPA and the NFL agreed to no preseason games. So it changes some things. It does change it. Now, we're not going to see any preseason games, which is it's smart. It's good. It, you know, decreases the exposure possibility. It decreases the possibility of injuries to all the teams. So this is definitely a good thing for the team. Now, when it comes to these bubble guys, and even I'll start with this, you know, a new development that was agreed to. The NFL is going to be cutting down on the rosters. You know, traditionally it's a 90-man roster for training camp, but now, you know, to help out, I guess you could say, for the exposure of COVID, get some bodies out of there, the NFL is requiring all organizations to cut their rosters down to 80 players. Now, that doesn't have to be done right away, okay? They're still, by August 16th, all rosters must be down to 80 players. Now, not all teams have to do it right now. All teams are open and encouraged to go through their film, who do they feel good about, who do they want to let go. And it's definitely a disappointing development for, you know, some of the other bubble guys, like a Robert Windsor. I'm pretty sure he might just stay on the roster for the 80-man because he's a he's definitely a possible depth player for the Colts. Now, maybe Jordan Glasgow will not make the cut. I don't see him making the cut. So those are a couple of players to name right there. What else? And there's also been, you know, some light shed on, will there be fans in the NFL this year? Yes, there will be fans in the NFL, but at a 25% capacity. Now, for the Colts, that capacity will be 16,475 fans allowed. All fans must wear masks. So these tickets, I'm not sure if they're going to shoot up in price. I'm not sure if they're going to, you know, be up there when it comes to the in terms of money. But 16,000 fans per home game, you know, that's is what's being reported. Now, as for season ticket holders, the Colts made an announcement that if you have an option as a season ticket holder, if you want to, you know, push your season tickets back into 2021, that is an option. Now, if you wanted to keep your season tickets to, you know, make it, you know, fair for everybody, the Colts are splitting their season ticket members into two groups. The first group will be able to have the four home games, the first four home games of the first half of the season. And then group number two will get the four other home games. So the Colts are definitely trying to be fair. They're definitely trying to, you know, help out their fans as much as possible, as much as possible. Everybody likes going to the Colts games and everything. So they're trying to make it work. Those are some good, great opportunities going on in the NFL right now. So some definitely some good developments. As far as COVID-19 testing, these new protocols that have been put in, you know, there's going to be daily testing. I believe it will last for the minimum of about 2 weeks. I saw it can be adjusted after, you know, after like I know it's based off like a positivity rate in for camps in the NFL. Players will need multiple negative tests before they're allowed to be in team facilities. So obviously if a player tests positive, like I just said, they will need, you know, they will need multiple negative tests to come back before they are allowed to be back in the facility. So what is multiple? Is it two? Is it five? How much is the league wanting? Because I know for like hospital care workers, their job is requiring them to have two tests to come back. And that's medical care. I don't know if the NFL is requiring five or what, but I do know that there's going to be quite a few tests done and that come back negative if a player wants to come back in team facilities. Players who test positive must wait at least 10 days or have two negative tests to return. Okay, we'll see. Just read it for you guys right there. So 10 days, I guess that's the quarantine. You know, like the CDC are telling others that, hey, stay inside for 2 weeks, you should be good. Now the NFL, obviously they've done their research with their doctors and everything. 10 days can be good to return back to practice. Players will wear proximity recording devices during team activities to further track and help prevent potential breakout. So obviously, guys, the NFL has worked endlessly, relentlessly to have a football season this year. I mean, just by me reading the new protocols and everything to you guys, this was thought out. And I'm pretty sure the NFL did not do it on their own. They brought in doctors into their meetings. They brought in scientists into their meetings to see how they can, what they can do to help control the breakout. So those are some good developments. Those are some good developments on the positive side of basically everything, everything COVID, training camp, anything like that related. Now, I don't believe there will be much else. Yeah, I think it's about it on that front. So, moving on here a little bit, guys. There is one player, you know, the one player that I was looking at on this roster, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, well, when I'm looking at this team, who can benefit the most out of this team? Is it a star player we have? Is it a underrated player? You know, is it a special teamer who you know hasn't cracked the rotation at a skill position? And the name I came up with, guys, and I want to focus on this a little bit, is Nyheim Hines. When I look at what kind of quarterback Phillip Rivers is, he loves the running back position. That's his best friend other than a tall, lengthy, big-bodied wide receiver. I look at how he loves to dump it down to the running back. I look at all of that. And when I look at Nyheim Hines in this offense, you know, the screens, the outlets, everything, he is set to explode, guys. He is set to explode. Now, in 2019, he didn't have the craziest stats. 52 receptions, 199 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was the rushing part. 44 receptions, 320 receiving yards. So obviously he can get free in the passing game. That was with Jacoby Brissett. Now with this one, Phillip Rivers is going to be looking to dump it down to Nyheim Hines. I mean, not even just Nyheim Hines. Obviously, you got Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack, but Nyheim Hines, he's the gadget player. He's the gadget player. Now, there is another gadget player that I will talk about here in a little bit, but right now I'm going to stay on Nyheim Hines. This season, especially as a special teamer, we know he broke out big time against Carolina, those two punt returns for a touchdown. That was big time. Okay, but in this offense, if you want to get tricky, if you're in third and short, or hell, even third and long, Nyheim Hines' hands and speed combination, you have to use it. You have to use it. There's no way that you can't use it. Nyheim Hines is set up for success. I think possibly he's the one player on this team that can benefit the most, other than probably Phillip Rivers, because of the weapons that Chris Ballard has given him. It's been a big thing. It will be a big thing for Nyheim Hines. It will. I just can't look at this roster, look at Nyheim Hines, look at this offensive scheme and sit there and say, no, I don't think this doesn't benefit Nyheim Hines. If Nyheim Hines is not a candidate for, you know, possibly breakout player of the year, most improved player of the year, then I don't know who you're taking over him on the Colts. I really don't. I really, really don't. That's one thing I wanted to talk about real quick. As a special teamer, kick return, punt return, he's set. That, I believe that is his job to lose. It is his job to lose. If I'm being honest, guys, I'm expecting big things from Nyheim Hines this year. I am expecting big things, because I do think his role should grow much, much more when it comes to the passing game. I definitely think it should grow more, because I don't think he was utilized enough in 2019. I don't think he was utilized enough. I mean, we saw him line up a few times and everything. He did have a okay stat line, but I know he has the potential to go to 800 yards. I mean, you look at this guy. I'm not comparing him to Tyreek Hill or anything, but he has that type of potential. That's what I see in Nyheim Hines. That's what I see in Nyheim Hines. We're going to take a quick break right now, guys. Real quick break right now. When we come back, I am going to talk about a player, an undrafted free agent, who is a real threat to make this roster and be a potential big-time player. All right, and we are back. Welcome back again, guys. So getting started with this player that I'm really high on. I really like him. I liked him when we signed him. And this is a guy I feel has the best chance to make this roster. Undrafted rookie wide receiver DeMichael Harris out of Southern Mississippi. He first went to junior college, got his academics right, and then he transferred to Southern Mississippi in 2018. Now, from a rushing standpoint,
he had 9 attempts for 80 yards. Now, in receiving, 27 receptions, 241 yards, 2 touchdowns, average 9 yards a catch. That was pretty good. That was pretty good because in junior college, he was mainly a running back and in high school. But when he got to Southern Mississippi, he made the switch. Well, I wouldn't say the switch, but I would say that he learned to play the wide receiver position better. Okay. Now, in 2019, in the rushing department, he had 113 attempts, 541 rushing yards, and 5 touchdowns. In the receiving game, 34 receptions, 346 yards, averaged 11 yards a catch, and had 3 touchdowns. At Southern Miss, he wasn't the main guy. He was mostly used as a gadget player. So when you read those stats, it doesn't, I guess you could say it doesn't, oh man, that doesn't wow me. But picture him in this offense. We already have a Paris Campbell who can be a gadget player. We already have a Nyheim Hines who I was just discussing. But who says you can never have enough speed on the field? I've never heard of that rule that you can never have enough speed on the field. This guy is an absolute burner, guys. He is a burner. I mean, you put all that speed on the field. Obviously, you got a T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, put a Nyheim Hines out there, and then throw in DeMichael Harris. I mean, good luck to any defense. That is a lot of speed on that field. That is a lot of speed. And I'm thinking about the jet sweeps. I'm thinking about the inside zones. Yeah, hell, he could probably get a few, you know, shots at running back in the Colts. But with the addition of Jonathan Taylor, I do not envision that at all. So I do see his primary role being at wide receiver. Now, to get on the roster, yes, he's going to have to contribute on special teams, but I am giving him a real shot to make this roster, guys, as a wide receiver. I definitely think he can do it. Now, remember, the Colts have a long history of having an undrafted free agent make the roster. It's been known every training camp. Now, obviously, I think Rodrigo Blankenship, I think he will come out the winner of that kicking competition with Chase McLaughlin. But DeMichael Harris, I can look at his body of, like, say if he just comes into training camp, he outperforms Darius Fountain. He outperforms Desmond Patman, Ashton Doolin. And he gets the 6th spot in that wide receiver room. I do think the Colts will carry 6 receivers. I think it's good for the depth. Putting DeMichael Harris in this offense, you know, for Phillip Rivers or for possibly Jacob Eason in 2021. I mean, guys, I'm looking at the potential in this passing game. This passing game is going to light it up. They are going to light it up, guys. Put all that speed. Put those hands out there. And even what we call yak yards after catch. I mean, again, I'll read the names. Nyheim Hines, Paris Campbell, DeMichael Harris, Michael Pittman, T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal. I mean, I am talking about some great plays going on in the passing game. You know, the passing game was almost non-existent in 2019. I think it could possibly have a resurrection in 2020. I'm looking at this possibility. I'm looking at the talent, the players, the scheme. I just see it working. I see it being a top-notch passing attack. If, of course, you know, the chips fall where they may, And, you know, this coaching staff gets it right. And then again, guys, I could be totally wrong about DeMichael Harris. I'm not saying he's an automatic lock because I'm not. I don't even know if he's going to make it out of the 10 guys that are going to get cut. I don't know. But I can definitely tell when I turned on his tape, I know this was Chris Ballard. It's just a gut feeling that this is Chris Ballard's decision to put Harris on this roster, to give him a shot in training camp. And this is a guy I believe can push Nyheim Hines for that kick return, punt returner position. You just look at this, at the speed. He has kick return touchdowns in college too. He actually had some pretty good plays against Alabama this last year, this past season. He actually had a pretty good game. So I'm putting a guy out there. DeMichael Harris, I think he has the potential to be a really good player for the Colts. Now, is he going to be a role player? Is he going to be a starter? That remains to be seen. But I am giving him a legitimate shot to make this roster. Now, I believe getting into our last topic of the day, I'm going to be previewing the first unit on the defense. Last week I did the quarterback. Today I am going to do the defensive line. Now before I start that, Pro Football Focus came out with their defensive line rankings for the league. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe they were number one. They had, you know, some pretty good defensive lines in there. Definitely pretty good defensive lines. You know, there's some good ones. And Philadelphia, in my mind, probably has the best one. I think number one was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they put down as the number one. I believe Philadelphia came in at number two. Anyways, where they had Indianapolis, I think, was a little bit ludicrous. I think they could have been a couple of spots higher. But Pro Football Focus ranked them at 19. I definitely think that they could have been slotted like at 17 or 16. Because I think, you know, Justin Houston, even though he's getting older, they actually named that as one of the reasons why, you know, they're so low, because they don't think Justin Houston will get sacks. But Justin Houston is still a strong player. And people forget that he's a pretty good run defender, too. He's pretty good in the run defense, okay? You got your, you know, again, this is why I don't think they should have been too high, but I also don't think they should have been this, you know, in the middle of the pack or bottom of the middle of the pack either. You got a speedy guy in Kamoko Touré. He's coming back from injury. That's a question mark. Ben Banigou, what are you going to get out of him? That's a question mark. Al-Kadeem Muhammad, I feel like we know what he is, and I think he's a serviceable defensive lineman on this team. I think he can help the team out. Tyquan Lewis, he's battled injuries. We don't know yet. Danico Autry, 2018 was his first season as a Colt, and it was his best season. He had 9 sacks playing in, I believe it was 11 games, I believe. Then you look at Grover Stewart, who I think has emerged as one of the best nose tackles in the league. Maybe not a top 5, but definitely a top 10. Definitely a top 10. He just showed some really good stuff in the run defense. He's really strong, too. He is really strong. Had 6 sacks coming out of the nose tackle spot. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I'm looking at that. The addition of Sheldon Day. I like that. I like the nose tackle depth of Sheldon Day and Grover Stewart. And then you add in the big piece, DeForest Buckner. What a pickup. What a pickup. He elevates this defensive line. He is going to do a lot of good things for the Colts. Now, what is his sack numbers going to be? I don't know. Maybe they might get to the double digits. It's sometimes, sorry, I hit the mic there. But sometimes a little challenging if your name's not Aaron Donald for a defensive tackle to get into the double digits. But, you know, if some guys can step up, if Kamoko Touré turns into what we hope he can be, Ben Bandigu can turn into what we hope he can be, that's going to open up a lot of opportunities all along the defensive line. And at being slotted at 19, I just don't think that's a good ranking. I don't. I would have put them at possibly 16 because, again, I'm not going to overhype. I'm not going to put them in the top 10 because there are question marks. But I think 16, I look at some other defensive lines in the league. They have the Dallas Cowboys. They have the, I mean, obviously you're going to put the Rams ahead because of Aaron Donald alone. But teams like the Cowboys and other teams out there, they were ranked ahead of the Colts and even the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, Geno Atkins in his 30s. I'm not sure if they're that much better than the Colts. I don't know. But I would take this Colts defensive line over the Cincinnati Bengals, over the Dallas Cowboys. I would take them over them. I would. Now, previewing this, you know, it's going to be a pretty quick preview. There's going to be some guys cut. I think Kendall Coleman, I don't think he survives the 10-man cut down to 80. I think Robert Windsor will make it. I don't think Gary Green will make it. But coming out, who I expect to be on this roster are 9 guys out of this group. The defensive ends, Justin Houston, Kamoko Touré, Ben Bandigu, Tyquan Lewis, Al-Khadim Muhammad. That's who I believe will be at the defensive end spot. Defensive tackles, I think we all can agree on this. DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, Sheldon Day, Denico Autry. Now, I have highlighted Denico Autry as a potential veteran cut, but, I mean, who's going to be behind DeForest Buckner? You definitely can do rotations with Tyquan Lewis, possibly Justin Houston, maybe. But I think Denico Autry will be a good backup. I think he will. Looking at this team, we know what Justin Houston is. DeForest Buckner is going to be big time. I think there is going to be some type of competition at nose tackle. Sheldon Day, Grover Stewart, both of them do some really good things. Sheldon Day, he gives 180% every play. He is an effort guy. He is going to attack. He is going to maul. He's going to try to the best of his ability to beat his man. Grover Stewart, he can stuff the run Willie really well. I mean, he's kind of an immovable object, if you ask me. He was just immovable when it came to the run game. Just stuffing the middle. I think Grover Stewart comes out victorious from that battle. Okay. And as apart from the other defensive end spot that Jabal Shears leaves open, I've wrestled with this one, guys. I have wrestled with this one. I'm still not picking a starter yet. I would love to see Ben Bandigu do it. I would love to see Ben Bandigu come out on top. He's my TCU guy. I love him. But right now, I think I'm going to go with Kamoko Touré. Because I look at the speed factor. Now, if he can get better in the run game, then Kamoko Touré has a bright future in the NFL. But from the speed factor, I think I'll take Kamoko Touré right now. With Ben Bandigu, I want to see him add a little bit more moves to his arsenal. I think he has some good speed, good strength. I think he's good in the run game. I think he's better in the run game than Kamoko Touré is right now. But right now, it's just about getting them in practice. Who is going to be able to beat guys like Anthony Costanzo, Braden Smith? Who's going to have more success? Who makes this defensive line better? Who makes this defense better? Who creates better opportunities for this defense? That's what it's going to be about, okay? Like I said, it was going to be pretty quick. Robert Windsor, I mean, Like Sheldon Day, a effort guy, he's going to give you 180% effort every time. I am actually going to list him as a practice squad guy. I think he makes the practice squad because having 4 guys on the interior, I think you got to have some insurance on the practice squad. That way you're not left wondering, trying to reach into the free agent pool, you know, in season if someone happens to go down. Hopefully that doesn't. I'm going to knock on wood here. So I believe that's it for the defensive line. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about really quick is this trade for Jamal Adams. Now, this is going to be about, you know, noticing Chris Ballard as the best GM in football. Jamal Adams was traded to the Seattle Seahawks, for those who haven't heard yet. I believe they gave the Jets a safety of theirs. They gave them two first-round picks and a third-round pick. So you gave all of that up for Jamal Adams, a box safety, who is an all-pro box safety. I will say that. I just think teams are giving up way, way too much for players these days. I mean, this is ridiculous, guys. I mean, look at what Houston gave Laremy Tunsil. And Adam Schefter actually put it out. I don't think it was Adam Schefter. I can't remember the guy's name who I want to give the credit to. But seeing this tweet made me want to talk about this, okay? I can't remember his name, but he put out there, these teams that are making these trades, not only are they giving up a lot, but they're not locking up their guys long term. Laremy Tunsil, who was traded to the Houston Texans, they gave up a first rounder to Miami and I believe a third rounder. Look what they haven't even locked him up yet. I mean, what the heck? You look at Jalen Ramsey. He hasn't even been locked up yet with the Rams. And then Jamal Adams, I mean, he's now a Seattle Seahawk, but he doesn't have a long-term extension yet. You're giving up all these assets. And not to mention, Seattle doesn't have that great of an offensive line, so they're giving up assets to be able to get good offensive linemen for a box safety who is an all-pro again. He can rush the passer. He's good in pass coverage. He's going to elevate that secondary, and I think that is a great move for Seattle, and he brings that attitude that was in the Legion of Boom previously. He brings that attitude. But teams are giving up so much. I mean, just for Jamal Adams, who I wouldn't call safety a premier position. Look what Seattle gave up. Two first rounders, one in 2021 and then one in 2022. And then a third round pick in 2021. And then you give them your starting safety that he will be replacing to the Jets. They gave all that up. But when you look at what Chris Ballard did for DeForest Buckner, a premier position. I call it the second most important position in football, a pass rusher. Now, if that comes at the defensive end or the defensive tackle, it's the second most important. On offense, you got the guy that can score points, quarterback. On defense, you better have a guy that can stop the quarterback from getting points, pass rusher. Chris Ballard gave up just one first round pick. Not only did he just give up one, but he locked DeForest Buckner up long term before the trade even went fully through. Chris Ballard does not play. That's why agents named him the most trustworthy GM, because he gets things done. He tells his players what he's going to do for them, and he does it. I'm going to lock you up long term. I believe in you. Here's your contract. Not, oh, I want to play for you. I think you're a big-time player, but let's hold off on the extension real quick. Not that, no. DeForest Buckner has done everything in his career to prove that he's worth the money he got. I think Laremy Tunsil's done the same thing. I think Jalen Ramsey's done the same thing. They haven't gotten their extension. Neither has Jamal Adams. But Chris Ballard, these amazing drafts, these amazing, you know, smart money decision signings in free agency, these trades, he is just knocking it out of the ballpark, and he is the best GM in the league. I just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to notify you guys of that. I wanted to talk about that because I think teams are just, they are just giving up way too much for guys these days. They are. And giving up so much and they're not locking them up. Like, that's just what's stupid to me. That I don't get that one bit. Why are you going to trade all this stuff away and not lock them up immediately and not even deal with it or have the hassle of it to the point to where it can become a problem in the future? Seattle traded for Jadeveon Clowney, but they didn't re-sign him. Now Jadeveon Clowney's upset with the Seahawks and it's a hassle. Pretty sure he won't go back. But I just wanted to clarify, Chris Ballard reigns above all in the NFL. So guys, thank you for tuning in for this episode of the Underdog Sports Podcast, guys. I truly appreciate it. If you are listening on YouTube, I would really appreciate it if you like, comment, and subscribe. If you're listening on Apple iTunes or Spotify, please be sure to subscribe to my show. Leave a rating and review, please. I truly appreciate it. I'm so excited. Football's back. Sports is back. Baseball's back. NBA bubble. It's about to start here in a few days. I'm excited, guys. Sports is coming back. Please stay safe out there. Practice social distancing. And just, guys, I pray for your guys' safety. You guys have a blessed week. See you next week. You're my